We thank you because your word makes life have meaning for us. As we study your word this morning, Lord, I pray that the understanding that comes from heaven will come in our hearts in the name of Jesus. I ask the power of Holy Spirit that is able to teach and expand and illustrate in every heart, even to come today and make this word to be livable in the life of these people in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask, let heavens be open and let there be revelation in every heart. Father, we thank you. For we have asked in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Today, we have a topic titled, "It is not over until it's over." You can say that to your neighbor. It is not over until it is over. What do I mean by it is not over? It means that you are not done yet until God performs that which he has spoken concerning you. It means you cannot afford to give up until you see the commands and the purposes and the counsel of God made manifest in your life. Even though your life may look like a wretched life, your life may be like, oh, I think I have done all the greater things. No, as long as the will of God has not been completed, it's not over yet. Today, we're really doing a character study in the life of Peter. And it will amaze you how such a person could be so mightily used by God. How such a character could be so mightily fulfill that which God has made up his mind to do. I will enjoin you today to write down, take notes. Thank God our bulletin, you know, you have the notes behind it. You can jot. You can request for pen if you need one. It is not over until it is over. Before you give up, just hold on. I love that song. It says, hold on, help is on the way. I don't know if you've heard the song. It is not over until it is over. Peter was a man of God, accredited by everyone today. But we're going to look back in time and jump in the scriptures to see what kind of a man was Peter. Why will he be the perfect example for us to really look back at our life and say, you know what? I'm not done yet. God is not through with me yet. I am still a miracle about to happen. It's not over with me yet. Even though the background and the history may not be best, even though your past may look rugged and, you know, with troubles, even though your life might not have represented God the way you wanted it, it is not over yet until it is over. We're going to look at the identity of this man called Peter. Who was Peter? His name, original name was what? Simon. Let's start with the scriptures. John chapter 1. The book of John chapter 1. I really want to quickly move through some of this. That's why I want to take note, because I will be bringing back some of the characters that I want to bring out here. Book of John chapter 1. I'll start reading from verse 40. John chapter 1 verse 40. Please follow me. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. Are you taking note there? Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So who is Simon Peter's brother? Andrew was one of the two who heard what John the Baptist had said and who had followed Jesus. Verse 41. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah." That is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Oh, Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of Jonah or John or Jonas, depending on the the version you're reading, you will be called what? Cephas, which when translated is Peter. Cephas is an Aramaic word. The Greek version of it is Peter, which means Petrus, which means rock. The original name of Peter, we know from verse 40, is Simon. And the meaning of Simon, if you care to know, means hearer, somebody that listens. Simon has a dad, and the name of the dad was John or Jonas, right, as we have read. We learn from the Bible here that Simon had a brother called Andrew. Andrew was the one that heard that John the Baptist said, that's Jesus. And Andrew called his brother, Simon, let's go to him. Now, immediately Jesus saw Simon, without any historical perspective, Jesus said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called the rock, Cephas. From the Bible, we learned also that Simon had a wife and had mother-in-law. We read today in Luke chapter 4, that the mother-in-law of Peter was sick and Jesus had to visit down the line, right? To go and heal because she had high fever. So we are trying to first understand the identity of this man. Identity of the man called Simon Peter. Remember, our title is, it is not over until it is over. Let's move to his associates. Who are the people living around Peter? By the way, what was the work or the duty of John or Simon? Simon Peter, what was his occupation?
Fishing.
Where was he living? Where was he born? Where was he living? Do we know? Okay, let's continue to read our John chapter 1. I will continue from verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Remember in the scripture, Galilee is not a city. Galilee is like Bear County, Harris County. Right? In the county, you have several cities in there. So you have a region called Galilee, you have a region called Samaria, you have a region called Judah, you have a region called Idumea, you have all kinds of regions. So right now, Jesus was in the region called Galilee, finding who here?
Philip,
please write down that name. Now we have about five characters around this man. His father, John or Jonas, his brother, Andrew. We knew that he had some relationship with John the Baptist. And now we are seeing a guy called Philip around him. Next day, Jesus decided to leave Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Then verse 44. Philip, like Andrew and Peter. Remember, Andrew and Simon Peter, their brothers. Was from the town of Bethsaida. Please take note of that. Bethsaida. The meaning of that, don't worry about the Greek word, what it means. It means fish house. Fish house. Beth means, don't let me do Greek 101. Bethsaida, fish house. It's a city in Galilee. There are so many cities in Galilee. Capernaum, Cana, Nazareth, all kinds of cities in Galilee. So, Simon Peter came from Bethsaida, right? We're just trying to establish his identity. We're trying to build his resume. He's not applying for a job. We just want to see from the scripture what this man did. Verse 45, and that's where we're going to stop for now. Philip found another man. Who? Nathanael, and told him, what? We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, about whom the prophet also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. See, Nazareth is coming to the picture now. So if you want to put together the resume right now of Simon Peter, you know his name. Original name was Simon. The very first time Jesus met him, he said, now you should be called Peter. Jesus was the one that gave him that name, Peter. We know that the brother was Andrew. We know that he was a fisherman, right? We know that he had friends in Philip, and he knew Nathanael, and they all came from a city called Bethsaida, because they all live in the same region as Jesus. Jesus grew up in Capernaum, right? All right, let's move on. Who are the people around him? We found them right now. We knew that his business was more into fishing. It was a very comfortable thing for him. Now let's dive straight into his encounter with Jesus. What happened when he met Jesus? He was a businessman in his own right. He was doing his own thing. You'll be surprised when you read his encounter. We're going to look at two encounters for us to really see that it is not over until it is over. Matthew chapter 4. The book of Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. I hope you're taking note this morning. I'll read from verse 18. This is an encounter. And Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. Please take note of that place. Sea of Galilee. Remember what Galilee means? It's a province. So there's a sea there. It's called sea. It's definitely more like a lake. A lake is a body of water surrounded by land, right? Okay. He saw two brothers. Who? Simon called Peter, and his brother, Andrew. What were they doing? They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Verse 19, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their net and followed him. That was more like a summary of how he encountered Jesus. How he encountered Jesus. Now, I want to start looking into the scripture. So right here, do you see anything specific or unique about Peter? No. A fisherman met Jesus, maybe by coincidence, or maybe by the plan of God. We knew that, okay, they live in the same region, Bethsaida and Capernaum, not too far, so it was very easy for Jesus to have met him. Now, what do we know from the scripture about this man called Simon Peter? I want to quickly dive into the character or the lifestyle of this man as seen by example. So we're going to really look at it by example this morning. The character of this man called Simon Peter. I will list 5 or 6 attributes. Please mark them in your book. And we're quickly going to look at some examples in the Bible, and you're going to fit them into those attributes. Number one, I first define this word. The word rash. The meaning of the word rash means marked by defiant disregard for danger. If somebody says that you are a rash person, it means that you can jump in your car right now and say, let's go to New Braunfels. Without thinking whether it is raining, whether your car has gas or whatever. You can make a decision defying every odd that could be. I would say that one, he was a man that was rash. He could defy danger and defy risk by taking an action. Two, he was a forward person. You know the meaning of forward. When you say somebody is forward, offensive, boldness, and assertive. Have you seen a forward person? They are very bold and they are assertive. When they say, yes, that's what I mean, it means that that's what it means. Very bold and assertive. Number three, he's a self-confident man. When he says something, he probably believes what he's saying. Number four, he was a man that has absolute devotion and zeal. Devotion means you give your time and energy and resource to something or someone. Number five, pay attention to this one. He was a man that was deficient in spiritual discernment. And not always consistent. So let's quickly dive into the scripture so that you won't take my word for it. We're going to look at it and see how his life is really a testimony for us to look at. John chapter 13 from verse 2 to 10. John 13 2 to 10. We're quickly going to be reading this morning. John chapter 13, from verse 2 to 10. If you're there, let's go. John 13, 2 to 10. You're not there yet? I want fast reader this morning.
Yep.
John 13, 2 to 10.
Yep.
Yes, please read.
And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him.
Yes.
Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rising from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself.
Okay.
And after he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet.
Now, Jesus was washing the disciples' feet. Let's go on, please. Please continue, man.
And to wipe them with the towel.
He was wiping their feet with towel.
Wherewith he was girded. Now, then cometh he to Simon
Peter. He now got to Simon Peter. So it means that we know somehow Simon Peter had started following Jesus. And this is fast forward into the end of the old thing. He got to Simon Peter. Yes, hear him.
Now cometh he to Simon Peter.
Yes.
And Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet?
So he got to Simon Peter. And Simon Peter was like, you're washing everybody's feet? I don't think you need to wash my feet. What kind of a person was that? Bold, rash, forward, self-confident? Go ahead, man.
Jesus answered and said unto him.
Jesus told him,
what I do, thou knowest not.
What I am doing right now, you have no discernment. You don't understand. You think I'm just washing feet, and you are saying, oh, you can wash all their feet, but not mine. I'm okay, I'm fine. What I'm doing, you don't know. Please begin to look at the life of him critically now. Jesus is telling him, you have no clue what I'm doing. Yes.
But thou shalt know hereafter.
You will know this once all these things are done. Yes.
Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet.
Oh, wait a minute. Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. Was he a devoted person? Yes, he was. But he's like, don't worry, I get it. You know, I'm okay. You don't have to wash my feet. Yes.
Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not.
If I don't wash you,
thou hast no part with me.
You don't have anything in this ministry. Thank you very much. Peter was a very strong guy. Jesus was washing everybody's feet, considering all the things that has happened in the history of their coming together. Jesus was trying to say, no, don't wash my feet. You can wash all of everybody's feet, but I'm fine. And Jesus said, you don't know what's going on right now. He had no spiritual discernment to know what was going on, even though he was so close with Jesus. And if I don't wash you, you have no part in this ministry. John chapter 13, that same book from verse 21 to 25. Somebody quickly. 21 to 25.
21 to 25.
21 to 25. Yes.
After they had said this, Jesus was troubled.
Jesus was troubled in his heart after this.
Testify. I tell you the truth.
Yes.
One of you is going to betray me.
Listen to this. Jesus told them, one of you disciples will betray me. All right, let's go on.
His disciples start at one another.
Or the disciples were looking at themselves. Okay, we are only 12 here, so what?
At a loss to know which of them he means.
Okay, so look at it. They were looking at themselves like, okay, so who among these 12 will betray Master? We have been together for 3.5 years. Okay, they were confused. Yes?
The disciple whom Jesus loved.
The disciple whom Jesus loved. Take note of that phrase.
Was reclining next to him.
He was leaning on Jesus. Yes?
Simon Peter.
Who else again here is talking?
Mentioned to this disciple and said.
Okay, let's pause a little bit. All of them, Jesus said that one of you will betray me. They were wondering, they were looking. The only person that was able to say something was who?
Simon Peter.
Although he was talking about John that was leaning on him. But the only person that was able to speak up was who? Yes. Simon Peter.
Yes.
What did he say?
Asking him which one he means.
Do you know this man? He said, you that you are close to Jesus. Hey, you. Ask him who he was talking about. He was a bold man. He was a very forward man. If he had something in his mind, he was going to just put it on the table, whether you like it or not. Say, hey, you close to Jesus there. You ask him who was going to. See, before just now, it was one telling Jesus, don't wash my feet. Now Jesus was saying, okay, now if I don't wash your feet, you don't understand the spiritual implication. You are not going to be part of this, but okay, wash my feet. In fact, if you read that story well, what he did was he told Jesus, don't just wash my feet, put water on my head. And Jesus was like, you don't need bath. I don't need to bathe you here. He was a man that did not have spiritual understanding, but once he gets something, he's devoted to it. It's like, don't just wash my feet, just, you know, give me jacuzzi bath. Oh my God, I love him. I just kept loving, when I was reading, I was like, God, I like this man. He was telling Jesus, John, ask him who will betray you. All of them couldn't ask, but he was the one forward to ask. Let's move on.
25,
sir, yes.
Turning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it?
Look at it this way. So the person he told now asked Jesus, sir, who is it that I'm going to betray you? He didn't have the boldness before until Peter said, you go ask him. Peter was there. He was there. You ask him. He was a bold man. He was a self-confident man. He was kind of disregarding any danger or any problem that would come out of it. Maybe Jesus would rebuke him or whatever. Let's move on. Verse 33 to 38. Somebody can open that for us. From verse 33 to verse 38.
32, 38, the same chapter?
Yes, the same chapter. John 13. 33 to 38.
My children.
Jesus was calling them here, my children. That sounded kind of very, you know, proverbial, you know. My children, yes?
I will be with you only a little longer.
I'm only going to stay with you a little longer.
You will look for me.
Yes.
And just I told the Jews.
Yes.
So I tell you now.
I tell you now.
Where I am going, you cannot.
Okay, let's pause. Where I'm going, you cannot come. So everybody's like, okay, remember that same Luke again. Where are you going, right? Let's continue. Please help me read faster.
For I new command, I give you love one another.
Love one another.
As I have loved you,
yes.
So you must love one another.
Yes.
25, by this all men will know that you are my disciples.
Yes.
You love.
So Jesus was just saying that I'm going away. Where I'm going, you cannot know. Love yourself. That's how people will know. Boom. Next line. 36.
Simon Peter
again. Who is this guy? Remember, he was a fisherman. Remember, he just met Jesus through his brother. His business was fishing. But he has always been like, okay, they're not going to wash my feet. Well, you ask him. Now, Jesus just told them, I'm going somewhere. Then Simon Peter again. Let's hear what he has to say.
Lord, where are you going?
All right. Lord, where are you going? Nobody's asking. I think they are thinking something. I just want to ask you. Very bold, very forward. He had confidence in himself. He was not hiding. It's like somebody in church today, when pastor said, this is, we are going to praise this, sir. That's not going to work. Why are we doing that? Very confident. He's not a bad person. He's a bold person, forward, self-confident, believing in this purpose. Yes.
Jesus replied, where I'm going, you cannot follow now.
Jesus now say, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now.
You will follow later.
Aha, wait. But you specifically, that word is a singular you. You will follow later. That is going to trouble him, right? Let's hear what happened then.
37, Peter asked, Lord, why cannot follow you now?
Wait a minute. Can you imagine? Okay, now you say we can't come. So why can't I follow you now? It will be, if I'm going to follow you, why can't I go right now? What kind of person is that? I want you to really look at this man as who he is. Forget about so much of what we read about him. Looking at the character, how he was asking questions, what concerned him, what bothered him, how he was interacting within the 12. Oh, you ask him, where are you going? Oh, well, I cannot go, but I'll follow it. So why can't I follow you right now? Very rash. Yes?
I will lay down my life for you.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me?
You miss that part again. You have to read that 37 properly. Lord, why can't I follow you now? Then read the last part of it.
I will lay down my life for you.
All right. Was he thinking about the risk involved? Why can't I follow you now? I will die for you. Before you say that, you probably want to think twice. You must understand what it means to die for somebody. It's like, you think I can't follow you? For you to believe that, I will die for you. Ah, Peter. Okay. Mark chapter 8, somebody help me. 27 to 30. Mark chapter 8. I wanted to begin to picture this man and really picture him as just a man. Mark chapter 8, from 27 to 30. Mark 8, 27 to 30.
And Jesus went up.
Jesus went up.
And his disciples into the towns of Caesarea.
Right. So Caesarea is another region. Philippi is a city there. Yes. So Jesus went to Caesarea Philippi city. Yes.
And by the way, he asked his disciples.
Okay. He asked his question again. Yes.
And saying unto them, whom do men say that
I am? Who do men say I am? Opinion poll, right? Who do men say I am? Yes.
And they answered,
yes.
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist.
But some say Elijah.
Some say Elijah.
And others, one of the prophets.
Oh, that's a one of the prophets.
And he said unto them,
Jesus asked them,
But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered.
All right. Who answered again?
Peter.
So all of them, Jesus was asking, we've seen Korah's answer, where Elijah, maybe you are a prophet. Then Peter said, oh, you guys, let me, I got it. I know what the answer is. This is like a test. It's like, you know, Jesus was looking for who got the answer. He's just like, I got it. I'm going to tell him right now. Peter answered him. What did he say?
Thou art the Christ.
You are the Christ. And do you know what? He did not make mistake, because John chapter 1 that we read, the brother heard John the Baptist saying, that is the Lamb of God. And he told him, we have found the Messiah. And he brought him to Jesus. So he knew somehow that this is the one the prophets have been talking about, right? So when Jesus was, it was like, you guys don't know anything. We have the internet gist. I know what's going on. You are the Messiah. Jesus told him, ha. Let's read that part. Let's just finish that. Yes?
And he charged them that they should not tell.
Jesus now warned them, don't tell anybody. This is the truth. If you read other books, you see a different context of what happened. We're going to move on to that. Let's look Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. It is not over until it is over. Do you think Peter was making progress here? Yes? Do you think Peter was contributing to the work of Jesus in a way? We don't see much right now. Do you think Peter was part of the ministry? Because at least he has devoted himself, but you know, wash my foot, I will go with you, I will do everything. Luke 22, if you're there, from verse 31. Luke 22.
And the Lord said, Simon.
Yes. Oh, let's read that quickly. Please help me do that again.
And the Lord said, Simon.
Lord said, Simon, yes.
Behold, Satan hath desired to have you.
Yes.
That he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, and that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.
Okay, let's look at it. This is Jesus telling him, Simon. Remember here, he did not call him Peter. Verse 31. He did not call him Peter. He gave him Peter. But here he said, Simon, listen, I'm calling you by your middle name, by your first name, by your whatever name you have understood better yourself. The devil has required or asked to sift you, but I've prayed for you. Let's read that, like verse 33.
And he said unto him,
now Peter again responding to Jesus,
Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death.
All right, so Lord, if it is just prison and death, I'm ready. Very rash. He was just not worried about what Jesus was saying. Yes, let's go.
And he said, I tell thee, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me.
Okay, yes.
And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing.
Okay, thank you very much. So he just told Jesus, I'm going to die for you. Don't worry. If it is prison time, I'm going to do that. You know, it's just vacation. Mark chapter 9, from verse 2. Somebody quickly help me. Mark chapter 9, from verse 2 to 8.
And after 6 days, Jesus...
Pay attention also. After 6 days, what happened?
Jesus talked with him, Peter, and James, and John.
Jesus took three guys, Peter, James, and John. You know who they are? We're going to see some of the attributes. Remember I told you to mark those people around him. Yes?
And led them up onto a high
mountain. Took them to a mountain. Yes?
Apart by themselves.
Yes?
And he was transfigured before them.
He was transfigured before these three guys. They were part of the 12. Right? Let's go on.
And his raiment became shining, mm-hmm. exceeding white as snow.
Yes.
So as no fuller on earth can white them.
So that no bleach on this earth can make a cloth to be that white.
Mm-hmm. And there appeared unto them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus.
So as they were looking at Jesus on that mountain, they appeared to be seeing Elijah and Moses, and they appear to be talking to Jesus. That is another teaching for another day. Why Elijah and Moses every time? There is something common about the two of them. Anyway, let's move on.
And Peter answered.
Who answered again? Peter again said, well, what did he say? Let's hear him now.
And said to Jesus, uh-huh. Master, it is good for us to be here, uh-huh. and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.
Thank you. Let's pause a little bit. Sir, we have seen this thing I just showed in our eyes. It's good for us to set up an office here. Some parish or some, you know, center where at least you get one, Moses get one. He was a very bold person. Like, he was not asking Jesus whether it was a good idea. He said, sir, it is a good thing that we set up tabernacles here. Oh my God. He was a very self-confident person. I really want us to see that it is not over. You would think that this is great success. If you are bold, you are strong, you are part of a ministry, you are moving forward, you are being reckoned with at all times. And I want us to quickly look at something so that we won't think there's a mistake in this man. Mark chapter 3 from verse 13. Mark chapter 3 from verse 13. Let's quickly read that. Mark 3 verse 13. You there?
And he goeth up into a mountain.
Jesus went to the mountain.
And called unto him whom he would.
He called unto him those he chose or he wanted, he would, yes?
And they came unto him.
Yes.
And he ordained 12.
He ordained 12. This is Jesus ordaining 12 people, yes?
That they should be with him.
That they should be with him.
And that he might send them forth.
Please, let's mark those. You know, it's like incorporating a company. You know, these are the article of association. Number one, they will be with him. Yes? Yes.
They will be with him and that he might send them forth.
Number two, so that he can send them out. Right?
And to have power to heal sickness.
Number three, to give them authority to heal or drive out demons or heal sickness. Thank you very much. And he named them. If you can quickly read those names.
And Simon, his son named Peter.
All right. Who was number one?
Simon Peter.
If you look at Matthew chapter 10 verse 2, the first one, Simon Peter. Luke chapter 6, Simon Peter. Everywhere. So you will know why this man, when Jesus chose even three out of the 12, Simon Peter was one of them. And among the three, he was still very bold to say, sir, we are setting up office here or tabernacle here. Thank you very much. Matthew 26 verse 57.
Matthew 26:57 and 58.
And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest. They arrested Jesus, they're taking him to the priest called Caiaphas, the high priest, yes?
Where the scribes and the elders were assembled.
There were so many people there, it's like taking somebody to the, you know, the stronger place you can go try them, yes?
But Peter followed him afar off.
Who again followed Jesus?
Peter.
My goodness. Peter followed him again, yes?
Afar off into mm-hmm. the high priest's place. And
yes?
Went in and sat with the servants to see the end.
Just because he wanted to see the outcome, he followed Peter. And you will know the context by this if you read verse 56. Can you help us read verse 56? Matt? Yes.
But all this was done that mm-hmm. the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Then all the disciples forsook him and fled.
All the other disciples already ran away when they arrested Jesus. But you know what Peter did? I want to see the end of this story. He followed him and he was looking afar from a distance. Remember, Jesus already told him, you know, you're going to betray me. But let's read Matthew 26, 30 to 35. 30 to 35. Matthew 26, that same book.
And when they had sung a hymn, mm-hmm. they went out into the Mount of Olives.
Yes.
Then said Jesus unto them, mm-hmm. all ye shall be offended because of me this night.
Yes.
For it is written, mm-hmm. I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered.
Yes.
But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee.
Remember this way, I wanted to picture it. Jesus told them, something is going to happen tonight. And after tonight, I will go back to where? Galilee. Because they were in Jerusalem now, in Judah, right? Let's go on verse 33.
Peter answered.
Oh, who replied out again? Peter replied again, yes.
Though all men shall be offended.
Please look at my face, how he described it. Even if all of them
shall be offended because of thee. Uh-huh. Yet will I never be offended.
I'm not. Me and you, we are life partner. This thing is only. All of them can fall away. But me and you, Master, we're together. Most of us, that is how we boast our Christianity today. That is really the lesson we are going to. Most of us, that is what we have dependent on. Oh, everybody can give. I'm a Christian. I'm a solid Christian. Hold on. There is one more trial that is coming. There is one more wind that is going to blow. There are some trials that will come your way that all your boasting, all your fronting, all your forwardness, all your rashness will be thrown into the windows. Even though you are bold, even though you have given your life to him, even though you have walked with Christ, even though you have received the mandate, remember in Mark, Jesus gave them mandate. Number one, be with me. Two, that you may receive power to cast out demons. Three, to go preach. You have the mandate, you have the commission, you have everything. In fact, Jesus gave him another name. Yet, that does not exempt you from what will come. He said to himself, very self-confident, if all of these other ones fail, I'm not going to fail. Before you say that, any man that thinks he cannot fall is going to fall. If you think I'm a strong Christian, oh, I don't commit sexual sin, God help you. I don't lie, God help you. Oh, me, I'm the perfect. No, you are not. Bible says, for we are saved only by grace. You must understand, it is not over yet for him now because he thinks he's perfect, he's going strong, he has a strong relationship, he could talk, he could respond. When others are not talking, he could say, you ask him, if you don't want to ask, I know what to do. He was able to challenge Jesus. You are not washing my feet. Okay, now you want to wash me, wash everything. When others fled and ran away, he was the only man standing. Only man standing because he wanted to see the outcome. He was committed. Don't think you are not committed. You are committed. That does not mean the day you fall, you should give up. That is where we're going today. This was a strong man that followed Jesus, that understood the principles of miracles. Remember the study, the Sunday school study today. God showed him miracle. At your word, I will throw down the net. It was Saint Peter that Jesus told, throw your net. And it's like, Master, I will throw my net because you are the one saying it. He believed. Yet, Jesus told him, devil has requested permission to sift you. You have to pray every time. You must always pray to know, because today you think you are strong, the day you are going to fall, that is not the end of the whole thing. And that is the point in what we are doing today. We may be perfect today. We may be strong today. The day you make that grievous mistake, know that yet it's not over yet. I'm not praying you will make mistake. I'm only for warning. He followed Jesus to check and make sure that he understood what was going on. Let's now read Matthew chapter 26. This is a critical point. We'll close very soon. Matthew chapter 26 from verse 69.
Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto
him. All right, now this is where we're talking about. This same boat Peter followed Jesus to a point where he could see what was going on, and then a young lady came approaching him, yes?
Thou also was with Jesus again.
You were Jesus?
But he denied before them all.
All right, let's look at it. So the lady came and said, I think you were Jesus, right? And he's like, no. I've never met him. Wait a minute. How can somebody who has gone through all the things, he saw the transfiguration and he said, let's set up tabernacle for you, for Moses, for Elijah. It was the same one that Jesus said, if I just wash your feet, you are part of the ministry. Jesus washed his feet. It was the same one that Jesus found out and said, you are going to be Peter, rock. You would think, oh, then I'm not going to be shaken. When you hear the word of God that says it is well with you, don't think that you automatically all problems are gone. It might be that it will take some time, some processes. You may have to go through fire or through waters. Peter already got his ordination day one. He did not do anything before Jesus told him, you are going to be Peter. A young lady that first asked him question, he said, Jesus, I don't even know how to spell that name. How many times we quickly deny Jesus here? Of course, you are not denying him by giving up your faith, but you cannot preach. You can't tell somebody about Jesus. You can't invite them to Jesus because you're like, I think your faith is good enough. Don't come to him. We deny Jesus very quickly. Even though at church, you say, all the unbelievers may not preach, but me, I'm for Jesus. That was what Peter said. All of them will deny you. Me, I'm standing. You said I'm following you. Why can't I follow you right now? I will die for you. I will go to prison for you. Not yet. Just a single young lady asking him. And the very first question was, Jesus, is that Aramaic or Greek? Seriously. It is very interesting if you see this picture. Let's go on, please.
But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest.
I don't even know what you are talking about.
And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth.
Another lady said, I see this guy. This is the guy that I used to see with Jesus. Yes.
And he again denied with an oath.
It was not just saying no now. He was now denying with an oath. He said, God is my witness. What? And he said what?
I do not know the man.
This man, I don't know him. God is my witness. He just broke one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not swear. He has seen the miracles. You have been in church, you have seen the miracles of God. You have been in church, you have tasted of the powers of heaven. You have been in church, you have helped other people. You have been in church, in fact, you have mentored other people. Yet, in the day of temptation, yet, in the day when a small girl, a small lady, a small problem will stand in front of you, that's why you'll be like, I don't know the Jesus you're talking about. In fact, by hope, you will swear and say, I'm not a Christian. I need this contract. I need this job. I need to get this thing. I don't know him. How can such a person so close to Jesus told him he was going to die, he was going to go to prison, others leave him, I will be there. And two times, there was no gun pointing at his head right now. He just said, God knows, I don't know him. Let's go on.
And after a while, came unto him.
After a while, you think the pressure has doused down, you know, it takes some time, a little bit, yes.
Came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art.
Now, some people now came and said, well, I think you are one of those people walking with Jesus.
For thy speech be raised.
Because your accent is giving you away. You don't sound like people from Jerusalem. You sound like people from Galilee. Your speech sound, we know Jesus came from Capernaum in Galilee. They sound a little bit, you know, y'all. We know that this is not like Texas. That sounds like Oklahoma, Tennessee type, y'all. I'm serious right now. Your accent is giving you away. You must be from Galilee. You have been with Jesus. And you know what? Your life will give you away. When you want to deny Jesus, because you have been with church, because you have known the plan of God, somehow people will know that you have been with Jesus. You can't run away. Bible says you are going to be like a city that is set upon the hill. You cannot be hidden. Your accent is giving you away. Let's hear what he had to say now.
Then began he to curse and to
swear. All right. It was not just a hope. That it's not just trying to say, God is my witness. He started cursing.
Saying, I know not the man.
I don't know this man. He started cursing.
And immediately the cock
crew. Oh, and immediately the cock crew.
And Peter remembered the word of Jesus.
And Peter remembered the word Jesus. Do you know Jesus loved him so much? He now remember, oh my God, this is what he said.
Which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly.
At this point, if you were to write the history or biography of Peter, what would you write? A traitor? A person that could deny, even though you have hidden with him, even though he has shown you miracles. You know the miracle in Luke chapter 5? It was a boat sinking miracle. You didn't catch any fish. I'm going to give you more than you need. He caught it. The boat was sinking. He had to signal to the partner, please come and help us. And this same person, you say, and that same time, he said, Lord. And now, he said, I don't know him. Second time, I don't know him with a hope. The third time, he was cursing. He realized what Jesus said and he started crying. This was the turning point. This is the point where you want to know that it is not over yet. At that moment when you give up on Jesus, you said you were going to be holy unto Christ, but you gave yourself away anyway. It's not over yet. If you were to write the life of Peter based on where this story is, you would think this was a man you need to throw away. Just like you can look at your life today and say, you know what? I don't think I can make it. I've been bold, I've been strong, I've tried everything, but I think I've disappointed Christ. At this point, did he disappoint Christ? Of course, yes. Was he standing for Jesus at this point? No. Just as most of us cannot stand for Jesus, when we say, let's just reach out to somebody, bring them to the house of God that they can hear the same word. We can't stand for him. In fact, we start cursing. We start saying, oh, my life is this, that's why I cannot do this. Oh, because of this, that's why I cannot do this. He has only asked us to do something simple for him. And do you know how much Jesus loved him? Luke chapter 22, verse 7. We're going to close in a little bit, please, if you don't mind me. Luke 22, verse 7. Luke chapter 22. If you're there, you can help me read, please.
Then came the day of unleavened bread.
There is now a day of the unleavened bread, a festival.
When the Passover was to be killed.
When they must do Passover.
And he sent Peter and John, saying,
aha, who did Jesus send?
Peter and John.
Peter and John. Of all the people, he said, oh, well, who do I trust now? Peter, John, yeah, I got assignment for you. Yes?
Go and prepare us the Passover.
Go and prepare us the Passover. This was the most critical point in Jesus' life. Jesus knew that that would be the last one. He knew that that would be the opportunity for him to transfer some specific information to them. And he said, oh, Peter, John, you guys will go do this great job for me. He didn't give them specifics. Pay attention to this piece. Let's continue.
Man. Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat.
That was the instruction. Just go and prepare. It's just like Jesus asking you, can you go get some people to become children of God? It looks like a very simple question, but it requires a lot of things, right? Let's go ahead.
And they said unto him, wherewith thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, behold, when ye are entering into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entered him.
Thank you very much, yes. Meaning that they asked more questions to clarify so that they could do the best for the master. We have three more scriptures to read, and we're going to really quickly look at this and pray. Matthew 26:36.
And then cometh Jesus. 36.
Yes.
And then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane.
Jesus came with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane.
And said unto the disciples,
yes,
sit ye here while I go and
pray. He told them, sit here while I go and pray. Yes.
Pray yonder. And he took with him Peter.
Who now did Jesus take again to go and pray very special prayer?
Peter.
And two sons of Zebedee. When we did the study by Bertio a long time, he explained really some few things about these two sons of Zebedee, right? They're called Thunder, sons of Thunder. They were like also bold and strong and whatever. So Jesus took Peter and these two and said, I trust you. Let's go pray. My goodness. See how much trust and see what happened. I don't know this man. I don't know him. God knows. I don't know him. And he started cursing. So you would think the life is over. So you would think there's nothing God can do with him. So you would think, well, that's the end of the story. That's not the end of the story. It is not over until it is over. Now let's see what happened. Jesus was crucified. Jesus was, you know, everything was over. All the disciples left. And then we're going to close this story. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Are we there? I want us to read from verse 1 through to 6. If you're there.
The first day of the week.
Yes.
Come Mary Magdalene.
Mary Magdalene came first day of the week, yes, to the
when
tomb.
When it was yet dark, mm-hmm. unto the sepulchre.
Yes.
And see the stone taken away from the sepulchre.
Mm-hmm.
Then she run it and come to Simon Peter.
Who did she go to run to?
Simon.
Same Simon Peter that wept and denied Jesus. Now Jesus was dead. What's going to happen now? 3 days, he said he was going to come. We're not seeing anything. This lady went to the tomb and said, well, who do I know? I know this strong man that used to work with him. Simon Peter. Let me go talk to him. Yes?
And to the other disciple.
And the other disciples.
Whom Jesus loved.
Yes. Who is John, right? The other disciple. Yes?
And said unto them, mm-hmm. they have taken away the Lord out of the disciples.
All right. So this lady came and said, sirs, I know Brother John, Brother Simon Peter, they've stolen Jesus. Have you heard that word before?
Mm-hmm.
They have stolen our Jesus. Oh my goodness, yes?
And we know not where they have
We don't know where they put him. Yes, please go on.
Peter therefore went forth and...
Can you see the same spirit? Once you weep, once you regret, once you identify your mistake that, lo, I should have stood for God. What did he do right now? He started coming back to who he was. Do you think God has changed anything in his life? He has made up his mind now. Bible says there is no salvation except for godly sorrow. The moment you realize, oh, I've not done all that I need to do for Christ. Immediately the lady told him, well, they've stolen our Jesus. We can't find him. You know what he did? He and other disciples started going back to the tomb. Yes?
So they ran both together.
They were running. Yes.
And the other disciple did
approach him. Wait a minute. Please picture this, and I want to be careful with this. I know I've taken your time today, but it's for one good reason. They outran Peter.
And came first to the sepulchre.
And they came first to the sepulchre. What do you think? It's like, maybe he's trying to slow down. I don't know what's going on or whatever. But he already made up his mind to even do something. Mm-hmm. Let's go on. Yes.
And he's stooping down.
Yes.
And looking.
So all the people that outran him, they got to the tomb. And what they were doing, they were looking and checking the tomb. Is it there really or not? Continue, man.
Saw the linen clothes lying.
They were seeing the clothes from afar because they couldn't go inside there, right?
Yet when he knocked in.
Mm-hmm.
Then coming Simon Peter.
Then Simon Peter caught up with them. He got there.
And went into the sepulchre.
And he went right in there to really check. While other people were standing by the door, they couldn't go because they were not sure. He was like, you guys just step back, you know. I'm going right in there to check if our dad, our master is there.
And see the lining clothes lying.
And he saw the same thing.
And the napkin.
And the napkin.
That was about his head.
That was about, thank you very much. The same character that he had, he was still having it. He was now just using it. You know what? I must find out something about this man. And do you know what? The baptism of Jesus, reinstitution of Jesus is what I want us to just to close this morning. But I'm going to close. I'll read from here. John chapter 21. And that's the end of the story. John chapter 21. In the book of John chapter 21 is the final story about John, his encounter with Jesus. And if you really spend time to read it, you'll be amazed. Remember I told you to identify the characters around him before he met Jesus? Here in verse 21, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples. Remember, he was looking for Jesus. They already stole Jesus away. They couldn't find him. By the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee, it happened this way. Simon Peter again, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, then the sons of Zebedee, right? John and James, and two other disciples. How many of them? Seven. They were together. Jesus no longer in the picture. right? But this is between the day that Jesus was resurrected and day of Pentecost. That's what was happening. There was no Jesus. So they went back to their business. Seven of them, because they were business partners. So verse 3, Peter said, I'm going out to fish. Simon Peter told them, and they said, we will go with you. So they went out, they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing again. Does this sound familiar? They caught nothing again. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends. In fact, some translation says, children. Do you have any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat again and you will find some. Doesn't that sound like a line that they already knew? When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because the large number of fish they caught again. Same miracle. Same sea. Same people. Same location. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, remember he followed Peter here, said to Peter, it is the Lord. He recognized Jesus just by his word. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say that, please pay attention to this. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his garment around him because he was fishing probably with some clothes off. He quickly wrapped himself with his clothes and jumped into the water because they were fishing from the boat. They were far from the shore. He jumped into the water, swimming, I presume. The other disciples followed in the boat. See that again. Other disciples were like, we're going to row back to the shore. But him, I cannot wait to get to my master. He jumped right into the water and was like, I'm swimming to go get him. Who was the same guy that asked the master, sir, can I walk on the water? Saint Peter. All of them were sitting in the boat. He was like, sir, if you are the one right out there, beat me to come. I'm going to walk on this water. The same one that said, that is the Lord. We thought they stole him. If that's the one, I'm not going to ride in a boat. I'm going to jump right in that water, go swim to meet him. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish. They were mindful of the fish. He was not even worried about the fish. For they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards away, which is some cubits. When they landed, they saw a fire of coals there with fish on it and some bread. One lesson here. When Jesus is calling you to come and is providing for you, he doesn't need what you have. Most times we say, well, now that I've given my life to Christ, I will give everything to Christ. He doesn't need it. The fish he told them to catch, they were bringing it. But before they even got to him, he already had fire, fish, and bread ready. He doesn't really need what you got. He all just wants to see whether you trust him enough to bring it. Jesus said to them, bring some fish that you have caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net. It was full of fish, 153 of them. But even with so many, the net was not torn. See the difference between now and then. At that time, the net was breaking. Jesus said, come and have breakfast. I will jump forward right now. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Remember, disciples don't ask questions except for Peter. They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, gave it to them, and gave them fish. It was now the third time Jesus appeared to them. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to who? Simon Peter. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? That love there is, do you sincerely commit your life to me? Do you absolutely trust me? He said, yes, Lord, I am your friend. The interpretation there does not really say it in English well. Jesus asked him, do you have agape love for me? He said, yes, sir, I have filial, because that was what we studied some time back. I am your friend. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Please, I know I'm taking your time today for one simple reason. Lambs are sheep under 1 year old. They are always scared. They can't protect themselves. They can't do anything. Right? Because a lamb is actually a sheep. It's just a sheep that is very young. 12 months, less than. Jesus specifically told him, Peter, feed those that are weak and are not strong and they have no strength of themselves. Again, Jesus asked him, Simon, son of John. He was not using Peter now. Do you truly have agape love, a self-sacrificing love for me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know I am your friend. Philip. Then, take care of my sheep. Now that I was taking care of those that are mature now. First, feed those that are young, that don't know so much. And now, take care of those that are strong and give them direction. Third time, he said, Simon, son of John, are you my friend? The thought was a different word. It was, Simon, do you really have filial love for me? Do you love me? Remember what he told them before he died? If you love me, you will obey my commandments. Simon was mad. Peter was up because Jesus asked him the third time, are you my friend? Lord, you know all things, you know that I love you. Then Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you want to go. Follow me. He told him how he was going to die. And that was the baptism of Peter back into the commission of the ministry. And I'm just going to wrap up in 2 minutes. If you now look at the life of Peter from that moment, 25 days afterwards was Pentecost, which was 50 days after Jesus rose, because Pentecost was 50, right? 50 days after the Passover, Pentecost. It was him that was always coordinating prayer because the disciples were together in one accord. Acts chapter 1 verse 3. And while they were together in one accord, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, when the Holy Spirit came upon them all, it was the one that said, oh, brothers and sisters, understand that this is a revelation and manifestation of the prophecy of Joel. That was a man that did not know anything spiritual before. Immediately, he was restituted back. He began to understand scriptures. Joel said that in the last days, he will pour out his spirit unto all men, and that is what you are seeing today. We are not drunk. It's just 9 o'clock in the morning. And afterward, you know what? He preached a sermon that no one else has ever preached before. He was quoting scriptures upon scriptures. Oh, has it not been written by our Father that this and that? Say, that same Jesus that you crucified has been made Lord and the Master of all. And the people called to their heart. And you know how many people were saved one day? 3,000 people. Not too long after that, he was walking to the temple 3 o'clock to pray. A man was looking at him. Sir, are you expecting something from us? Yes. Well, I don't have anything. But in the name of Jesus, get up. That same Peter. If you look at the time he betrayed Jesus, you would think it was over. It was not over. When you look at your life and say, I've messed up, it's not okay. No. He's just working on you. He was the one that was preaching gospel like nobody. Cornelius, it was him that was sitting in the house and God told him, oh, I cannot eat. He said, no, go to the house of Cornelius. As he was speaking, Acts chapter 10, Bible says, Holy Spirit came upon people. He was not praying. As he was speaking to them, that was so much power that came upon somebody that would have given up and say, I messed up. When you see people mess up, don't think that it's done with them. God may not be true with them yet. What God has in plan, he must fulfill. He was the same person that coordinated the church in Philistine. That time, he was moving from one place to the other, held the church, ensured the doctrines was set in place. He wrote 2 letters of 1 Peter and 2 Peter, right? And if you read the entire book, all you will find is number one, to comfort and strengthen Christians when they go through severe trials. Of course, who can best teach that? Him. To enforce practical and spiritual duties. If you read 1 Peter from the beginning to the end, you will see that was what he was doing. Practical. He knew how to be bold and strong and yet know how to fail. To warn them against special temptations that come with position. Read 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter, you will see. It will tell you, let those that stand, you know, let this. It was giving specific instruction because, you know, you can be so close to Jesus and yes, messed up. And yet, you have been in church, you have prayed, you have been a worker, a minister, a pastor. You have done everything before. You can still be a chief sinner that even for you to come back, you'll be like, maybe God will not take me anymore. But God has the opportunity for us because Bible says God is still merciful. And he wrote them, the last thing, the topic is to remove all doubts from them that the gospel of Christ is sound and complete. Who else can tell you about the completeness of the gospel of Jesus? Somebody that has tried and has failed. Somebody that God has proven and have prayed for. Someone that he has seen success, he has seen closeness, and yet God can use. Is it over with you yet? I believe you can sing that song and declare it's not over with me yet. God is still working in you. God is still working in you. God is still throwing you through fire. God is still burning you. God is still making you and purifying you. All the failures you have encountered, they are not meant to destroy you. They are meant to prepare you for that function God asked for you. All that you have, you know, you may think you have disappointed God. You have not disappointed God. You have only gotten used to how your nature is so that you can see how God can use you. Did God change anything in Peter? No, the same boldness, the same attribute is what God used to make him a success in his kingdom. Shall we rise this morning?